So as you may have gathered today, I'm going to be talking about life and seeds and imagining for the future and soil. And now I know I've talked about things that grow and soil a lot in the past, so I'm sorry if this is old news, but I'll probably talk about it again because I still find it immensely I find it absolutely fascinating, and I feel like there's so much to be learned and so much life to be garnered from spending a bit of time with soil and things that grow. And just to start off saying, I loved what went on this morning, and I hope that if for some people there was something unexpected that happened when they put pen to paper or they put paintbrush to paper. Yeah, don't ignore that. Let the seed of that grow. And if it's something you enjoy, if it's something you were surprised you found that you enjoy, do it more and foster it and let that thing grow, because this should be a place of creativity and life and bringing together the things that we express and the different ways that we worship. That's my real heart for gathering spaces and the times that we come together, that they're a real expression of who we are and what we bring to our Father. So yeah, would somebody read a passage for me? It comes from Mark 4. It's Mark 4 verses 1 to 9. So yeah, this is setting the scene. Does anyone have a Bible? This would be tragic if no one did. I'm sure you're all very familiar with this passage, but yeah. Vicky looks like she's ready to go. Joel's ready to go.
Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seeds fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear."
Oh, that was amazing. That was fantastically read. Thank you very much. Sterling job. I know that's a passage I think that's probably quite familiar to most of us. And it's mirrored again in Matthew 13. Jesus talks about scattering the seed. And I sometimes think that we kind of maybe this is just me. I've imagined in the past there being a random scattering of seed, and it just falls wherever it falls, and like it's kind of chance whether it falls amongst the rocks or the rocky soil or the shallow soil. But if there's anything I've learnt about soil in the last little bit, it's that soil isn't the way it is by accident. That actually it takes quite a lot of work to cultivate healthy soil. Soil is a living, breathing thing. It's full of bacteria and microbes and plant matter, and it's part of the whole environment and ecosystem. So I think the quality of the soil is determined by what goes into it, what's allowed to grow, and what's nurtured. So, as some of you may know, I've been growing things for the last few months, so I thought I would share. I thought I would share a little bit of my journey with you. So, here is a plant pot. you can't yet tell here. You can't really tell, but seeds have been planted, and it sort of perhaps goes without saying, but I didn't really have much idea what I was doing when I set out on this. I bought some seeds, I bought some compost, and I bought a pot, and I planted some stuff. And I know over the last couple of years, I've chatted a lot, I've talked a lot about soil and trees and plants and stuff, but it's probably been a lot of bluffing and sort of just passing on what I've read. So I thought it was about time I actually tried something to see if I actually enjoyed growing things. And you know what? I started off with some pretty good success fairly early on. I think there was some good sunshine. It was hot. Things sprung up. And I was like, oh, this whole growing things thing is really easy. Like, this is really amazing. Or you buy soil and you put plant your seeds in the soil and they spring up. And this sort of thing happens. You've got little carrots there on the right and some lettuce. But actually, this whole process was part of me learning what it is to grow things. So some of you may know that I'd like to be involved in cultivating a plot of land in the future that has animals and trees and vegetables. So there have been various things I've put in place to work towards that trajectory. And this is one of them. Some of these things that we do, they may seem like insignificant choices. They may seem like insignificant activities. But in all of these things, in where I've been reading about soil and I've been going to see people who live in a way that I feel is reflective of the values that I want to see worked out on this plot of land, I've had in mind the whole time where I'm going with this thing. So this might seem like kind of a silly side project or just a bit of fun, but actually I've learnt some really profound things along the way. And I've learnt that different kinds of plant flourish in different conditions. Some plants have shade, some of them like the full sun, some of them like chalky soil, some of them like alkaline soil. And I mean, if you're a gardener, you know these things. But the point is, what you put into the soil and the conditions you create for something affect what grows in it. So even if the task seems big, we got to start preparing the soil now if we want to see the thing, that big thing in the future, come to fruition. If we want to see that forest, if we want to see that field of loads of crops and life and animals and diversity, we've got to start cultivating the soil now. Now, I'm not normally one who spends a lot of time on social media, but a little while ago, someone posted a video and tagged me in it, and it was about an admiral talking about making your bed first thing in the morning, and how making your bed is the first step towards... It's a long video, so I won't go into it, but the first step is making your bed, and there's something about that small act that sets you up for the day. Well, this is my small act, and since then, I've started making my bed every day. Yeah, well, you know, it's my way of saying, yeah, I want to be a good steward of the things I have, and a bed is one of those things. So this is about starting with the little things. But yeah, I think as I started out, I was given some grace with the weather, and I did well to start with. But I soon realised that little cucumber plant on the end, they realised they grow quite big, so I had to upscale a bit and repot some plants. And as you can see, they grew to quite a substantial size. But this is stuff that I learned going along. I had no idea that this would happen. So I built a trellis, and they got to the top of the trellis, and then I put another trellis, another sort of bamboo thing across, and they carried on growing. So yeah, there was definitely a lot of grace here, but I knew that I wanted to grow stuff, so this is what I did. But what happens? What happens when it goes wrong? Sometimes we plant things, Sometimes we go to cultivate the soil, we're preparing the ground, and some of us are very good at laying plans, and we look ahead and we can see that end goal. But sometimes the unexpected happens, and you get stuff like powdery mildew on your cucumber plant. I didn't know what powdery mildew was, but apparently this isn't great for plants. And they started to wither a little bit and die. And so I had to recalibrate. I had to read into this a little bit, and I discovered that milk solution sprayed on the leaves kills it. So there was like a little bit of adaptation there. And in my life this year, I've experienced a little bit of having to adapt. I should have been carrying on to my second year of study this month, but circumstances and funds meant that that wasn't going to happen. And so I had to defer another year for that. And that, to start with, didn't seem like the thing that I had planned. But ultimately, I think I've come round to adapting to that, and I've realised that it's actually quite a good thing. But sometimes in life, we have to adapt and adjust to the things that knock us down. Other times the snails and the slugs get to your radishes. And actually, they got a lot worse than this. This wasn't even like the worst extent of it, but I didn't take a picture of it any further than that. But sometimes we get knocked really hard. Sometimes we get knocked properly hard, and stuff dies. the thing that we worked to grow and to cultivate, it dies. And after we've taken the time to process and reflect on what's happened and grieve if we need to, we have to muster the courage to re-sow the seeds again. Life is unpredictable, but things are always growing. Life is always at work. Holy Spirit is always at work. I remember Richard and Linda sharing a little while back about how in the depths of winter, everything looks dead. But if you peel away just under the surface, there's life. There's life going on there. There are things, there are profound processes taking place in the midst of winter. And there's life under the surface. There's green under the bark. So I think plant metaphors and parables are limited in how far they can take you, but I truly believe that this is a really valuable one. And I think that Jesus talks about things that grow an awful lot for a reason. Yeah. I think practicing gratitude and attentiveness to our surroundings, being mindful of what is going on, being mindful of the ways that the Spirit is moving, are really valuable life lessons. When we're looking to grow something, when we're looking to cultivate something in the soil, and we look ahead and we're involved in this process, it requires of us to be looking for the signs of new life and shoots and fruit. I think we need to not forget that it's God who makes things grow. Yeah, I think wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whenever we are, practicing gratitude and attentiveness and being mindful of the things of our Father and the things of the Spirit are where the life is. So yeah, let's be observant and mindful of the things that have come before, keeping record of where we've been, what the story has been, and looking and listening for signs of fruit. This is a little cucumber. A little cucumber, yeah. And here it is a bit further along the line. And they're really hard to spot to start with, these little cucumber shoots. But once you know what to look for, you start seeing them all over the place. They look really insignificant, but they grow into delicious things. Look at this. These are from my pots. These are from like a couple of pots planted outside. outside my flat, and which my neighbour hopefully affectionately called my allotment, my mini allotment. But you know what? As a byproduct of growing these things, just being focused and attentive on what's going on there, people stop and chat to me, and they say, like, they tell me how much they enjoy going past and seeing things grow of a morning. They say, I've been wanting to grow stuff for a while, but I just haven't got round to it, or I didn't know that I was able to. And the stuff like that's come out of this, just as a side hobby, or as like a fun little project, have been amazing. Like, I've had some really profound conversations with people whilst I've just been growing stuff in pots. isn't that ridiculous? Yeah. Can I have another reader, please? So we're still in Mark 4, but we're looking at verses 26 to 29.
He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come."
Yeah, that's good. I love this parable. I love this parable. It follows on shortly after the other one. My favourite verse as part of that little passage is, "The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head." So when we're talking about planting seeds and creating good soil conditions, and there are things we can understand about the way the process works, but right at the core of the whole project is the mystery of life. There's something contained within a seed that carries the blueprint for life that can't be explained apart from the one who breathes life into all of creation. So, I mean, we can plant stuff and we can prepare the soil and we can move towards things, but ultimately, we always know that it is God who makes things grow. It's never been any other way. We're called to collaborate with the Spirit. We're called to collaborate with Holy Spirit, but it's always the Spirit that makes things grow. So yeah, this is God's story. It's always been life from death, connectedness and substance from chaos, disconnect and nothingness. So, yeah, this is my allotment. If we're talking about looking ahead, maybe this is the vision for it. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but that's not a bad place to look for inspiration, I don't think. So yeah, there are the things I've put in motion, such as growing things, trying to arrange gatherings such as a barbecue with neighbours, are in preparation for creating something for a community of people living on a plot of land. And if I really value that thing, then I'm not going to wait for some future event before I engage in those things, because it just won't happen if I'm not prepared for it. I'll look to put those things in motion by whatever capacity and opportunity I have available to me now. This is part of the journey of life. I can grow stuff in pots and bear amazing fruit from that compost or soil. It arrives in a handy bag with everything that plant needs. Then when it's depleted at the end of the year, I can chuck it away and replace it with new soil for the new seed. That's an amazing thing to be able to do. And I think some things that we do maybe are always meant to be in pots, that maybe they stay in pots, but they also serve as a place for learning for the field and the forest. If we want to dream in a more holistic, bigger, more sustainable way, we've got to start looking at what conditions are required in order for the things we value to flourish. You can't grow a woodland out of pots. You might be able to start. Maybe you can grow some saplings in a pot. But at some point, they have to go out into the soil, out into the ecosystem, out into the environment. And they won't grow up without the right ingredients and catalysts. Healthy soil takes a long time to establish. We're in the long game here. So those who take this task seriously of cultivating the soil and bringing in diversity of wildlife, of plant life, of bacteria, of fungus, and all of those things that are required for a healthy field, for a healthy forest, for a healthy woodland, for it to be full of bees and insects. People who consider those things, they consider all the factors, and they go about creating the conditions and cultivating the conditions for that. I think when we dream with our Heavenly Father, everyone is blessed. I really believe that. When we dream with our Father, when we dream with the Spirit, everyone's blessed alongside, because the whole environment can't help but be healthier and more alive and more vibrant for it. So yeah, there's something that Jesus said in the Gospel of John. He said, very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. I think there are things that we have to let die in order to prepare the soil for the future. Sometimes maybe it might be some form of control we're desperately trying to exercise over every aspect of our lives, that we're scared of the unknown, and that perhaps we need to trust. It may be that I'm comfortable and I'm unwilling to step outside of what I know, because that's a scary thing. Maybe I'm just stuck in apathy and I'm crippled by fear. But whatever it is, don't worry. There's always grace. So we shouldn't be robbed. Don't be robbed of the future that awaits, of the forest, of the woodland, of the field. The adventure is there waiting. The King of Glory is good, and his world is worth pursuing. So yeah, we occupy the space where we're gardeners, stewards, and farmers, where we have the ability to sow seed and import resources to encourage certain types of plant life and wildlife. But ultimately, the earth produces of itself. Ultimately, it is the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, who brings the greenness, the life, and the vitality. It's God who makes things grow. And there's a woman called Hildegard von Bingen, who is worth looking up if you're interested. I think she was in the 13th century. She was an abbess. She wrote music and psalms. She also wrote books generally, and she calls the Holy Spirit the Veriditas. I've mentioned this before, but yeah, she calls Holy Spirit the Veriditas, the green one, the one who brings light, the one who brings greenness, who makes things grow. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's Holy Spirit in our lives. Holy Spirit is the one who brings greenness, the one who makes things grow, the one who makes the acorn sprout from that, who makes the oak tree sprout from the acorn, the one who brings life, the one who brings newness and freshness and fruit. So yeah, this applies to us individually, but also as families, as church body, and as the Journey family and wider community. So the question is, what do we want to see in this community and our lives? Because what we set in motion now is what we see down the line. If we want to be a place of welcome and hospitality, if that's a value we hold, it makes sense that we would start to practice it now. And we already do. But what I'm saying is, these things take time to build. If the parables that Jesus is talking about bear any relation to us, it's in that plants and soil take time to cultivate and grow. So yeah, if we start to practice it in the small things, the large things will follow. And we'll probably mess it up along the way as we learn. But that's what the pots are for. Isn't that an amazing... I think sometimes in the poetic we can describe something that's hard to put into words in the natural. And sometimes by looking to nature and looking to plants, we discover something about life and the way that God works and the way that God is that we just don't get any other way. And I think that's why Jesus talks in parables. He talks about the things that we know. So you'll be glad to hear. I'm coming into land now. But I just wanted to end by building on that picture of the whole of creation groaning and waiting for the sons and daughters to bring hope and restoration and healing to all of creation. So we're always learning. We're on a long road. So let's embrace the experience. Learn from our mistakes, correct when we need to, but accept that we're always going to be disciples of Jesus. Accept everything as a gift, and don't worry ourselves over whether we deserve it. Be kind to each other and ourselves, knowing that however hard we work to earn things, we're only ever able to do so because of the gift of life, of physical function, of capacity and opportunities to do so. Because of the people who love us and the input and the love we were shown first, whatever our circumstances. I thought it would be really great to spend however long you want, a minute, 5 minutes, just outside in the garden. it feels like the natural progression for this. Just to take a moment to sit and look. And ask Father God to speak to you. Maybe you've held dreams. Maybe about dreams you've held and how you could be fostering an environment for those things to flourish and grow and create rich soil to make those things grow. Or maybe you've been cultivating the soil already and you're waiting for the seed. Maybe you've already grown something and you want to know how to care for that plant or how to reinvigorate one that's wilting. So I would encourage you to write down whatever you hear and keep it to heart because it will sustain and recalibrate you when you're doing some of the hard work that goes with gardening, farming and preparing the woodland. So yeah, I'm just going to pray quickly and then let's go outside for a few minutes. Spend as much time as you want and then when you're done, come back in. Does that sound all right? Father God, teach us to reconnect and dream with you, to learn how to get messy, dig our hands into the soil and reimagine what it means to be your children and partake in the great adventure of your unfolding kingdom.